Wrote on the board, mercy. You know, this morning, mercy's a great big thing, isn't it? If it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, folks, there wouldn't be any of us here this morning. I want to look at Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse, and it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, this morning, I just want to, look at this subject maybe in a little different, deeper or whatever, more in depth light than maybe we always do. And I want us to think this morning about the scriptures and what they tell us about mercy. Jesus began here by saying two things. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. You know, I looked up the word mercy in Webster's 1828 edition. I love their definitions in there. And the definition was so challenging, so clear. It said, that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. You know, that's mercy. I hope you got caught what that said. It's a mildness that inflicts less than it should or could sometimes. And Clark says the word mercy among the Jews signified two things: the pardon of injuries and almsgiving. And so he talks about the grammatical meaning of some of the words, the Latin word that we get our word mercy from, and the Hebrew that went into what they derived the Latin from even. And he says, boiling it all down, it means pain of heart. Mercy supposes two things. One, a distressed object. And two, a disposition of the heart through which it is affected at the sight of such an object. And so he goes on to talk about the pain of heart that someone that has mercy has. They see an offense, and rather than the full judgment, they feel the need of the person, and they have mercy. I'm adding a little bit to what he said there. But I want to think this morning about a bigger picture of what that verse said. Because it has an ending to it that says, the merciful shall obtain mercy. And I want us to think a little bit this morning about the requirements of mercy. Do you know that God is a great God of mercy? And if it wasn't for His mercy, who would be here? Who could stand and say, it's on my merits that I'm here? I've been good all the way through. You haven't been. I'm just telling you. The Word says you haven't been. And I accept that. And I know I haven't been. But the Lord washed me. He went out looking for me. And He brought me in. And you know, and I look around, and when I hear somebody complaining about this place or this people or something, folks, I just can't go there. I'm real with it. Yes, we all have our little issues, don't we? But oh, I'm so glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. I'm so glad to be a part of this people this morning. I remember a time when I was out there. I remember as a young person, I hardly got to go to church until I was about 14 or 15 years old. And so I used to daydream about what it would be like to hear 100 people sing these songs. Because I was raised in a little group. I used to daydream about what it would be like to hear 500 people sing these songs. You know what? I have had the privilege to hear that. I've had that privilege because of the mercy of God. And He came looking for me. And He found me. And He brought me home. And folks, I love this place. I love this way. And I love the Lord. And I thank God for that this morning. You know, I want to look over in Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 30th verse. And it talks about a man here that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Jesus told a little story about a man that was going on the road. And I can only imagine what his experience must have been like. He walked this road or rode his horse or whatever, and thieves came upon him. I wonder what his feelings were when he saw that he was being closed in on. I wonder the feeling that he had when he saw what was coming his way, and then he realized what was happening. This was, I suppose, a real man. He said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And you know what? They mistreated him. They took what he had. They took his clothing. And they left him, it says, half dead. That's what happened to this man. Now, I don't know about you, but I was kind of putting myself in that place a little bit and thinking about what it must have been like. And the fear he must have felt when he realized these three men were coming upon him and he was powerless to resist. And they took what they did and they nearly killed him. And there was a man that came along and he was a, what we would term a preacher today. He was a priest back then. And it says that he saw what happened and he what's it say? When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, you know, he probably had some feelings inside about this, but he didn't do a thing about it. And then there was a Levite, another one of the church people. You know what? This is a lesson for us, isn't it? And he came along, this Levite, and when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But there was a person that wasn't even accepted in the religious circles. And he was called a Samaritan. And they had good reason for not taking them into their number because the Samaritans weren't Jews in the same sense. And they didn't, there was differences there that was irreconcilable at the time. And you know, this man though, he had compassion on this man. And it says he poured oil and wine. Let's see, what's it say? He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatever you spend more, when I come again, I'll pay you. I'll pay you back for it. And Jesus said, now, which one of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? What do you think? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Do you know this morning, that's an awesome character trait that God has that he wants to put in our life this morning. It's easy to look the other way. It's easy to not. It is easy, isn't it? It sure is. But the Lord wants to, He wants to talk to us a little, I feel like, this morning about several things. And it's not just mercy that I'm thinking about this morning. But I want to look at Lamentations 3 and 22. And we find here a writer that says, it is of the Lord's, Jeremiah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Now, you know what? When we get to thinking someone deserves what they're getting, I want us to think this morning about what the Lord, what Jeremiah got a picture of. It's of the Lord's mercies. It's of his compassions. Because his compassions don't fail, we're not consumed. Now, we might think that just of the Lord. But folks, the Lord protects us from so many things, doesn't he, this morning? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, the Lord, when you look at Jeremiah's writing here, read the writing above that, the first 21 verses, and you see someone that was having troubles, someone that was in trouble in their life, troubled on every side. And it looks like a pretty dark picture. But he says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Psalms 86 and 5. I'm just going to quote some of these. You probably won't have time to turn to them. But it says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I want to notice some things as we go along. The scripture that we just read, did you catch what it said? It said, Lord, you are good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Unto who? Unto all them that call upon thee. And I want us to remember this morning, folks, I know we might not want to hear this, but it is biblical truth through and through. Mercy is somewhat conditional too. It is somewhat conditional too. Because though the Lord has died for us, and though he has shed his blood, and though he ever longs to be merciful, if we never call on his name, we won't be availed of what he gave us. It won't work for us because we won't let it. And so I want to encourage us this morning, that mercy that is there, that God wants to give us, he's limited himself. He won't come in and save a soul. He won't come in and take us where we need to go unless we call on him. And so in his mercy, he deals with our hearts, doesn't he? He brings us to places where he can say, I want to speak with you. Come, turn from your evil way. He wants to come and talk to us, doesn't he, this morning? But folks, mercy is somewhat conditional. Somewhat. Because we have to let him do it this morning. He limited himself. You know, the first verse we read, said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you know that people who are hard and mean, sometimes they feel the judgments of God upon them? And if they will ever let those judgments work in their life and turn them, they will find his mercy extends. And so this morning, I want to encourage us that God longs to give you and I mercy. He leaves the 99. And he goes out there and he talks to our hearts. And we weren't even here. And we weren't even worthy. And yet he comes looking for you and me. And he loves us this morning. I'm going to encourage us today to not harden our heart. To not let the time pass when the Lord's mercy is everlasting, he says. And yet we're going to die, folks. We're going to come to the place where did we accept his mercy? Did we let him talk to our, did we let him lead us? Did we crumble before him? Or did we in our pride take our way this morning? The scripture says, this is Psalms 103, 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Do we catch what it says? His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. It's a little bit conditional, isn't it? It is. We want to think of mercy as just an overflowing, and it is. But folks, we have to allow the Lord. We have to humble our hearts. We have to fear him. Pray before him. Seek his face. And I will tell you what he will do and what I found he would do. He'll turn your life so much around and change you so much that you'll begin to love him. And he'll become the center of your life, the center of your affections. And when you think of the Lord, you will think, oh, my Lord. Folks, the Lord wants to put that kind of love in our life this morning. And I believe he'll do it if we'll let him today. His mercy, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and the righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Do you know this morning, the Lord longs for us to receive of his mercy. But he makes it a little conditional here, doesn't it? It says, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. We don't like to think about the other side of things. Well, what if we don't keep his covenant? Well, folks, there's reserved for us everlasting darkness and all the things that go with that. But to such as keep his covenant, those mercies that he bought and paid for, wants to come down upon our life and shower us. So let's keep our hearts. Let's fear before the Lord. And I'm not talking about this kind of fear that just, although I'm afraid of God, I'm afraid to disobey him. But it's a fear of the Lord that he wants to put in our life, that we love him, we trust him, we give him our all, we serve the Lord, we fear him this morning. So let's remember, folks, to do his will and keep his covenant and keep his ways. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 is another place. It's all through the scriptures. We find, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that, he keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, where is the stopping place? He's simply saying, folks, it just goes on beyond your comprehension. 1,000 generations, it just goes on and on forever. That's what he's saying. His mercy is to those that fear him this morning. And so I feel like the Lord started talking to me to remind us, folks, that the mercy of God is upon those that fear him. So let's fear him. It's upon those that serve him, so let's serve him. It's upon those that call upon his name, so let's call upon his name. The mercy of the Lord is there. The mercy of the Lord is upon those who are merciful. So let's be merciful. When we see others, we say, well, I was merciful to them. Folks, it extends way beyond that. The one we walk by that needs a little help, maybe they need us to stop what we're doing and pull some money out of our pocket and some time out of our day and help them. Or a word or an arm around the neck. Mercy. That's blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's a little bit conditional, isn't it, this morning? And the mercy of the Lord, how great it is. And he's reserved for us. Two of us went home this week. And I'm certain they are experiencing what we are longing to experience one day. That's what the Lord has provided for those whose hearts are turned to Him. It's in our power to turn our hearts. It's in our power to turn our hearts and our minds to the Lord and call upon Him. The Lord's not going to make you do it, and no one else can. Only God could, but He won't. But folks, this morning, let's reach out for that part of God that He wants to put within us today. Thank the Lord this morning to 1,000 generations and to those that walk carefully before the Lord. How many times have we heard this verse? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It's written a number of times, a bunch of times, that very phrase. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks, and His mercy endureth forever. Be the keeper of our heart. Be careful to keep our heart from getting hard. Be careful to keep our heart from getting filled with the world. From getting filled with bitterness. Because, folks, we can be ever so right, and we'll lose His mercy. Because we are so entrenched in our right this morning. Oh, let's don't let anything, whatever the cost, whatever it is, Lord, I want to come to You. I need Your mercies. Oh, how I need Your mercies this morning. You know, the Lord, this is Matthew 5. We're very familiar with this. And you know, the Lord told His people to love your enemies and bless them that curse you. And He went on to say these things. And then He said, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now isn't that awesome that God sends His rain on the unjust too? I'm glad He don't just rain in fields. I'm glad He don't rain on houses and everything else is a barren desert around it. Now, I believe the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And people right around us may be starving for all those riches that God wants to give to them too. But folks, the Lord reigns. He reigns on the unjust too, doesn't He? He gives to them so much of His mercy, but He longs to give them much more. And so, I want to talk a little bit about Psalms 19. And a couple of scriptures here as we go along. Psalm 19 and 13. The psalmist says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. What's a presumptuous sin? The psalmist says, keep me from presumptuous sins. What are they this morning? You know, in Strong's it means arrogant or presumptuous or proud. The word presumptuous means bold and confident to excess, adventuring without reasonable ground of success, hazarding safety on too slight grounds, rash, applied to persons as a presumptuous commander. There is a class of presumptuous men whom age has not made cautious, nor adversity wise. There is a class of presumptuous men whom age has not made cautious, and I'll say yet, nor adversity wise, founded on presumption, proceeding from excess of confidence, applied to things as presumptuous hope. You know what someone that is presumptuous on the Lord's mercy will do? They'll go out as they have in the past, and they'll continue to walk as they did in the past, in their sins, in God's face. And one day, they'll find His mercy ran out. And so I want us to take that this morning, folks. God has given mercy. He's given time. He's given space for you and me. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now, folks, I want us to think about what that says. He that being often reproved, that means by where? By what? By whatever the Lord uses. His word, those in our lives, folks, the circumstances we come into. He that is often reproved and hardens himself in his way, it says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I remember one time a sister told me, she said, we were in a service, and my husband was under so much conviction that his knuckles were white. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, my mercy is running out. And she said, a week later, he was gone. That sister's not alive today. But I want to share with you what I believe the Lord shared with me. Folks, let's don't presume that because up to yesterday, up to today, every day has been good. Every day my life just gets better and more prosperous, and I get stronger, and my way gets fatter, gets better. Folks, if we harden our necks against the Lord and we don't let Him talk to us, there will come a day when His mercy will be past. There will come a day when His mercy will be past, and reserved for us forever then is what the Lord has made. That place of darkness and burning and all of those things. Folks, this morning, I just want to encourage us to allow the Lord to work in our heart and life. You are the keeper of your heart. You are the one that has to say, I want to walk toward the Lord. You're the one that has to say, I'll turn my back on evil. I won't partake of it. I won't live there. Somebody has to do it for you. And you're the only one that can. And this morning, I want to encourage us today to not be one of those that hardens their neck, being often reproved. The Lord pricking our hearts. The Word of God pricking our hearts. Friends pricking our hearts. And yet, we go right on. This morning, those that do that, the Scripture says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I could give you a number of examples of people that I've seen that did that. And their day came. But folks, it doesn't have to be that way. Because God, that looked out all the rest of us here that are saved, He's looking for you too. He left the 99 and He went out there where I was and He found me. I can't believe I'm here. I mean that. I can't believe I'm one of you. Thank the Lord for that. I never dreamed that would be possible. But you know what? God brought it to pass. Sister Carla probably never dreamed of it either. Here she was singing a while ago. You know what? The Lord brought her out of a pit too. I don't think she minds me telling you that. He brought her up to a high place. Folks, the Lord does that. Oh, His mercy is everlasting unto those that fear Him, to those that call upon His name, to those that forsake evil and turn from it. Now, we've got in trouble a few times, haven't we, in our lives, folks? Admit it, yes, we have. David got in trouble too, and I want to read what David said after he got in trouble. In Psalms 51, David did something I've never come close to. And I don't know why David went this far. It seems absurd. But folks, it's the way of life, isn't it? You don't watch it, Satan will get in on you too, and me. And so David, after he had taken Bathsheba and had her husband killed and all the lies and all the things, the hypocrisy and deceit that went with that and everything David did he still have any mercy left in from God? What happened to Saul when Saul disobeyed the Lord? And along comes Samuel to talk to Saul. Samuel, what's the bleating of the sheep that I hear when God said destroy them all? Oh, I have done the will of the Lord. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I've done his will. There wasn't any mercy there, was there? Because Saul was hiding his sin. Saul was holding his sin. And there wasn't any mercy for him. And Samuel said, the Lord's going to find, has a man better than you. I don't remember all that. I didn't read it. But so Samuel told him, there's one with better than you that the Lord has that's going to take your place. And Saul, when he saw what was going on, he wanted to back up. Oh, the people, you know, oh, I've done wrong. I've done, you know what? He should have humbled himself. All he wanted at that point was to fix the problem, not humble himself. David was so different. The prophet Nathan came to David. And what did David say when he was caught in his sin? He said, I am the man. I am the man. Folks, that's what it takes to find God. And God wants to be rich in your life. And He wants to be real in your life. And He wants to make a place in heaven for your soul forevermore. But it comes to those that humble themselves before the Lord and that fear before Him and that call upon His name and that serve Him and turn from evil. Now listen to what David said after he had been caught. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Lord, what do I have at this point to give? What can I do? I can repent. I can say I'm sorry. And that's what David did. Lord, please, have mercy on me and blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Wow. Honesty. It's conditional, isn't it? It's somewhat conditional. Yes, it is. And he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. And there wasn't any blame he put on anybody else. Maybe there was a little blame he could have shared here. I acknowledge my transgressions. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Oh, how the Lord wants to create within us a clean heart. And you know what it's like to have a clean heart? Have you ever had a clean heart? Have you ever known what it is to not have any offense? No malice, no nothing toward anybody like that at all. You ever known what it was like to be clean in your life? Clean before God, doing His will. It's a beautiful thing, folks. It's a beautiful thing. Let's look out the mercy of the Lord. Let's pray before Him and seek His face. And turn our hearts from evil. And turn our hearts from those things that would destroy us. Oh, David, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. Who's going to deliver us? God is. We're going to be able to turn over a new leaf? If God delivers us, we can. And without it, we can't. We can only do some good. But God wants to deliver us. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Thou wilt not despise. Do good in Thy good pleasure unto Zion. And you know, David wrote those things, and he received mercy, didn't he? David received mercy. For all he did, he received mercy, and God began to bless his life. Isn't that amazing? And he was still the king. And God didn't replace him like he did Saul. He received mercy because he humbled his heart. He acknowledged his transgressions. And so, folks, this morning, that's the gist of what I feel like the Lord gave me. Oh, let's call out for the Lord. Oh, when I look and I see folks pass like those that did this week, what a challenge to our life. Everlasting life, everlasting beauty in the arms of God. That's amazing to me. I can only imagine. What it must be like over there. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You know, that's the covenant of the Lord. That's His agreement with us, folks. If we'll fall before God and humble ourselves before the Lord, we'll be broken. We'll have a broken spirit. We'll have a spirit that's humble. That doesn't mean destroyed, broken. It means a humble spirit. A spirit that can come and approach God, and He hears us. And then He blesses you and I. What greater thing in life and eternity could there be? The Lord bless us this morning. I want us to all make heaven our home. And I long for the mercy of God in my life. I look at things. I need His mercy. I need His help. I need His blessing today. You pray for us.